So great to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Now I'm chosen.
sing it out.
So
Let's give God all the glory this morning.
I've mentioned this before, but it's worth saying again because it was a very significant part of my life, and I think it's going to resonate with some people out there today. I started down a dark path when I was in my 20s. I loathed my job. I lived for Friday. That's it. Not Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, not Thursday. Friday was what I was looking for. Friday at 5 o'clock. That's all I could think about. And on the other side of that, I became angry every Sunday evening at about 4 o'clock. Why? Monday's coming. I longed, I lived, and I coveted the 2 weeks of vacation that I got every year. And this state only grew worse. I went deeper into the darkness, into my 30s. I got to a point one day, and I was kind of one of the bosses. And one day I got to thinking, I said, I would fire me if I was my boss. That's how pitiful I was doing. I lacked the will to work and the power to perform. I was focused on my own burden rather than the mission that my boss had hired me for. Without the right power source and the right mindset, we become disgruntled, ineffective workers for God in the same way. We'll treat our faith like I treated that job, as a chore just to be endured, rather than a calling to be enjoyed. Last week, some of you were not here. Quick recap, because you can't separate 12 and 13. They go together. Last week was the what. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we talked about last week. What is that? What is working out your salvation? Let's be clear before we go forward. Number one, we talked about it last week. Say it again. It is not earning your salvation. We get salvation in one way, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. That way no man can boast. Okay? But working out your salvation, it's living out what God has put in. So God is at the center. God is at the glory. It's only living out what He gave us. We can't live it out if we ain't got it in. And God has to be the giver. It's positioning ourselves under God's unmerited grace. And we do that through prayer. We do that through fasting. We do that through observing the Lord's Supper, as He called us to do. We do that through loving God and loving others. It's a continual striving to live and be formed into the very image of God through His power. That is working out our salvation, and that's what we're called to do. So that's the what. Today is the how. Today is the source of power that allows us to get this done. And it's not our flesh. Amen. It's not human anything. We need a right understanding of who is actually doing the work. Who is to credit? Who is to power? And there's a vision with this that I have. If we would take this seriously today, if you would take this seriously, grip it with both hands, and believe it, we could have a body of believers who don't serve out of I have to, but out of a supernatural want to. I believe we can reach a place where spiritual retirement, nothing wrong with longing for heaven. Don't get me, I'm not down on that. I long for heaven too. It's going to be great. I'm excited about it. But a place where we don't long for that eternal rest, but we long for the next opportunity to serve God through His power because He is willing us to do that very thing. What would that look like? What would this world look like if every Christian was striving for that? Open your Bibles to Philippians 2:13. We're going to look at the workman of God's power. The workmen of God's power are called to work. It's right here in the text. So it says, "For it is God who is at work in you." Now, let's talk about work for just a few minutes. The world either idolizes work and it becomes our identity, who we are, or it despises work and thinks it's below them and it's some sort of punishment. Sadly, we're kind of on one end of the spectrum or the other. Scripture, however, dignifies work as a calling from God. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that the Lord, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So no matter what you're doing as work, as long as it's not sin, we're called to do that work as unto the Lord. Going back to my opening illustration, I don't want to know how many people I misled by showing how I worked. Because I was supposed to do that work as unto the Lord. And it certainly did not reflect that. We're called to serve Christ. Work was a gift given before sin entered the world. Let's just be clear. God gave man to do work before the fall ever occurred. So it's not a punishment, it's a gift and a calling from God. Genesis 2:15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." The biblical heroes of the faith worked. Nehemiah rebuilt all of Jerusalem's wall, all while leading people, all while trying to not be killed every single day. Nehemiah worked for the Lord. Paul, the Bible tells us that he's the greatest missionary after Jesus Christ, but he also made tents and did whatever that he could do to fund the ministry so that he could work for the Lord as well. Jesus worked as a carpenter. If you look at Mark 6:3, our heroes worked. The summer before my sophomore year, a man named Dean got in touch with my mother and said that he needed somebody to help him work in the summertime. I didn't know what it was, but I got in my truck and I drove over there to the place he told me to meet him. We got there, and he was standing there with a flathead shovel and a crowbar. And he said, "Here, these are for you. And there's the ladder. And climb the ladder and take all these shingles off of this house in July." He didn't hand me the shovel and the crowbar and said, "There's the shade. Please go make yourself comfortable today and observe me as I remove all the shingles from this roof." God calls every believer to meaningful labor because He designed us for it. Resentment steals joy from what God intends as dignity. When we resent our work, we lose it. We lose a gift that God has given us. We need to embrace our calling, whatever form it takes. God needs hands and feet in every aspect of this world. And if you're a believer, you're one of those in whatever calling, whatever work you're doing. Have you bought the lie that work or spiritual service for the Lord is beneath you? That's somebody else's job? Or when God calls you to it, you realize, No, he's willing me to do that job. I need to do that job. Inventory your Eden this morning, your job, your family role, your church ministry, and today we all should thank God that he has given us something to cultivate, that he has given us work to do, that he has given us a calling so that we can have purpose in this life. And start tomorrow with, this is my assignment from God, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to work for the Lord today. Secondly, the Lord's workman is given the perfect example. I like a good example. I grew up learning to work under a see one, do one, teach one. I like to see it. And usually if I, you know, follow you along, I can probably do it. Maybe not as good as they did, but I can work through it. We miss that God worked, works, and will work, I'm afraid. And when we miss that, we don't see our labor joining his labor. Genesis 1:31, God worked. God saw all that he had made, and it took work to make that. And behold, it was very good. So not only did God work, God did good work. John 5:17, Jesus tells us, but he answered them, Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now. And then guess who else worked? Jesus at the end of the verse. And I myself am working. So those are two very good examples, God and his Son. This verse tells us, verse 13 says, God is at work in you. Let that hang there for just a minute. Did you hear what I said? God, the sovereign creator of the universe, is at work in believers. Not only transforming us on the inside, but empowering us to do the things that he's called us to do. Transformation that mirrors his labor. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote earlier, for I am confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's encouraging. God initiated the work, and God is persistent, and God will see that work through until Jesus Christ comes again. We join a God who never ever stops working. A Father who creates everything, a Son who redeems everything, a Spirit who is actively working in each and every believer to sanctify us. God is working, and I'm thankful that he is. Idleness, why God never stops working, is a mockery. It doesn't make sense for me to think that I should be, could be, or even desire to be idle while the God, my example, my creator, is working constantly. Does that make sense to y'all? I have never taught my children how to get upset when they are working and their sisters were not. That was not in my thing that I did. But I'm going to tell you this. I can call one under the sink, and I can watch them. Those eyes start going. Where's them sisters at? And if they're playing, guess what they feel like? The house just got real tense. They ain't happy. Why are they not happy? Because they're working while they're playing. But in my spiritual walk, many times, God's been working while I'm playing. How should I expect him to feel about that? I don't think he's very proud of that. And to top it off, he is empowering me to work while I'm playing. Making the choice, the active choice, to be idle Shouldn't we want to follow the example of the God that we worship? I think so. When fatigue hits us, and it will, some of y'all are tired today. This thing is driving me crazy. Some of y'all are tired. Some of y'all have been working. Some of y'all are actively working. And there's hope for that. If today you're struggling, there's hope. John 5:17. God hasn't clocked out. God hasn't given up. He's still working. And I think that we could move past our fatigue if we would look and see God working around us, see His work, and let that encourage us and motivate us. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of what God's doing. And follow the example of Jesus. He said the Father was working, and He concluded that. He said, I myself am working. Not just Him, but me. God sets a good example. The last truth is the Lord's workman is empowered and purposed. Empowered and purposed. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. If we're not careful, our flesh and the enemy will try to teach us a lie. And that lie is this, that you're working alone. You're by yourself. You've got nobody. And that's a lie. God is at work in us in at least two ways. He is willing inside of us. He's giving us His will, putting it deep down inside of our soul. And He's also working, empowering His will through us. And see, this negates the argument that some people make that, well, you're preaching works. You're preaching That's not what the Bible says. I'm not preaching a works for salvation. The Bible is clear against that. But I'm preaching a work that is empowered by a holy God. So anytime, if you're believing that there's no work after you become a Christian, I hope you're seeing this. We're called to this. We're empowered to this. It is one of our great purposes once we believe in Jesus Christ. We're called to salvation-enabled labor. Now, I'm not talking about anything before salvation. This is salvation-enabled labor. I'm going to support it in two verses. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?" Y'all see that up there? Good works. You're created for it, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. So you were remade. You were given the new birth after believing in Jesus Christ. You were reborn for His works that God has already gone before you and prepared you to do. He's already plowed the row for you to go and work on. He gave you the row. I like the thought of that. I like that God thought ahead and said, you know what? I got Philip. I'm going to call him. I'm going to save him. And I'm going to give him this work to do. And it's going to give him great joy. And it's going to give him great happiness. And he's going to know that he is my child and that I'm working through him. I like that. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to what? To do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. We're to work for Him in His power as He wills inside of us. God equips us to do His will, and God delights seeing His will worked through His followers. It brings Him glory. He loves it. And I'm thankful for this. God doesn't just command, He plants a desire inside of us that burns. There's a flame inside of there. Now, we can suppress it. Boy, I've done that. But I want God to fan the flame, that fire, so that I can glorify Him more. And we can't work out what God hasn't first worked in. We can't do it. God has to put it in, and then we work it out. Back in college, a friend of mine decided that they wanted to go skydiving. They invited me to come along. I was like, I mean, I will ride in the car with you to the airplane. I'm happy to do that. I mean, I don't like jumping off these stages. I'm just not a height guy. We get to the airport, and then this big coercion begins to happen. You're already at the airport. I mean, the plane's right there. We get a half price if we go together. What did you not understand? I'm not getting on a perfectly good airplane, going thousands of feet in there, and jumping out of it. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't even know why you're doing it. I'm only here to support you. I had zero desire to jump out of that plane. And I'm afraid some of us feel the same way about obedience. We don't have any desire for it. We're not looking for that. I didn't know that was part of the deal. I got things to do. Have you seen my schedule? Have you seen my calendar? I mean, and I'm not doing anything bad. Boy, that's the devil's favorite tool, I think. And today, in this world, he's got us as busy doing good things as we've ever been. It's not bad. It ain't God's will. So, what is the measure of bad? Is obedience, serving, and worshiping God a drag to you today? Don't answer that out loud. Have you got to the place where you have no desire, no pull, no movement? Got two applications, one for an unbeliever and one for a believer right here. I'm going to start with the unbeliever, somebody who has never professed Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you have no desire at all to work for the Lord, no conviction, no pull towards Christ, that's an indicator. Because what I'm reading today is that God is willing and working in those who believe. And if you don't have any of that, I'm not telling you that you're saved or not. I will not tell you that because I don't know. I don't know. But if you have no desire at all and you've never professed Christ, the call for you today is not more guilt, is not more, and here's another lie of the devil. He'll come alongside of you and tell you, you can get saved, but you got to get your life right first. You got to quit doing X. You got to quit doing Y. You got to quit doing Z. And then, when you get all that worked out, then you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. See, that's a great lie because he's telling you to do something you can't do. You cannot do those things without the power of the Holy Spirit. You lay down your life, then you get the Spirit, or you lay down your life at the feet of Jesus, you ask Him for salvation, and then He empowers you to stop doing X, stop doing Y, stop doing Z, because He's going to put His will inside of you, and then you can do that. Before, you cannot. So today, it's a simple call for you, the person with no desire, no relationship, is to completely submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him for forgiveness. And then we can go to this phase. Then you will have God inside of you willing and working. And He'll take care of itself. What about the believer? God is already working inside of every believer in here today. He is. He is working. God is in you willing and empowering you to work for His glory. Some of us today need to just stop and take a step back and realize we've been distracted. We've gotten in a bad place. We've started working for other things instead of working for the Lord. And we need to pray and ask God, God, renew in me your will. Renew in me a passion to work for you. Renew in me a desire to glorify you each and every day with the life that you have given me. We need to step out today, tomorrow, and the next day when the Holy Spirit prompts you to step out and do work for Him. We need to thank Him when we're able to be obedient, when He empowers us to be obedient. Thank you, God, for letting me do this. And refuse the I. Refuse the me. It is not me. It is He who works through me. Seek Him. Seek His presence. Seek God's power continually in your life. I'm proud to report this last part. I'm no longer the disgruntled, angry, although some of y'all think I'm angry. I know you do. I'm not. I'm no longer the disgruntled, angry person that I was in my 20s. And I'm so thankful that God has delivered me from that. Amen. I'm so thankful that God has brought me to a place and put inside of me a will, and He's empowered me to do a work for Him and see that that's the most important work. And that all work that we do, no matter what the work is, should be able to glorify Him, no matter what the work is. That's the measure. So if you're doing work today, you're doing work during the week that brings Him no glory, there's a problem with that. All of our work should be able to glorify God, every bit of it. I can't see how a holy God would call His child to do a work that doesn't bring Him glory. The answer today, guys, is not try harder. It's fully embracing and recognizing that God's working inside of you. Some of us aren't working at all. We're spiritual couch potatoes. Some of us are inconsistent. Maybe like a weekend warrior. I'm going to work on the weekend and work on Sunday. I got 2 hours on Sunday. I'm going to do that. And some are doing everything. They're checking all the boxes. They're kind of like a Pharisee. They're doing everything, but they're doing it all in your own strength and not in the strength of God. Let's change that today. If you're in one of those positions, let's change it. Let's get a new mindset. Let's get a brand new understanding from God. What would it take today for you to commit to going all in for God? All in. Not some of you. Not half of you. But all of you. Here's a little motivation for that. Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Ladies and gentlemen, 2026, the harvest is ripe. It stands like a tall row waiting to be picked. And my prayer for you today is that God would bring you into the harvest. That God would will and work in your life, and that we could go into that harvest for him. God calls, you respond, he empowers. Non-believer, you can't work without God. He has a purpose for you, though. He's ready to work in you. But it all begins with faith and confession in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where that begins, and that's possible today. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. Let's all work out our salvation as the Bible has commanded us to do. Not in our own strength, but by the power of God who wills and works in us. We're going to have a time of response, and God knows how you need to respond. The Holy Spirit is telling you how you need to respond today. Whether that's in prayer, that's in confession. You need to make a decision for Christ. You need to pray for the first time and start your relationship with Jesus Christ every day so you can experience what we just talked about. Maybe you've never been baptized. You're a believer, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. Whatever decision that you need to make for the Lord today, I just want to tell you that I love you. I'm encouraging you. I'll be praying for you, praying for God to give you the strength to make that decision during this time of response. If you would, please stand.